We're going to learn about elders this morning from 1 Peter chapter 5. And we won't be covering very many verses in this chapter. In fact, I want to look at some other verses, other places. So we may not get very far in 1 Peter chapter 5, but we're going to learn about elders. And you might think, well, as we're looking at those verses and the verses addressed to the elders, you may think, well, that doesn't really apply to me if you're not an elder. So you might want to go to sleep. Please don't do that. Because if you all go to sleep and Craig falls asleep, then I will only be talking to myself. And that will not be good. So, but it'd be fun. There's some things that we can learn, some things that I've learned from these verses and from other verses in the New Testament about elders or leaders in the church. To start with, I would like to read the verses that some of which we're going to cover this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I've asked Poser to read the first four verses in Korean. And so I will let him do that, and then I will read the verses in English. So Poser will read verses 1 through 4 in Korean, and then I'll read them in English. Okay?
그 베드로 예수하고 떠들리 왔다 파울라 그간 파니 베디냐 오너 예단이 메시코 어떻고 사가 그가 너 으사 라키 타나타 포르티 베디이 너 그네 후발 달라고 보라 타 글럽 라토네로 두어부 어이하 소 투콜라 그클라 너 파울라 참 모수 그르코드메마 Nila susa puto data kopi la siba kado temesa kapur temima nila susa puto kwarto kopi diwa kasa tala tanesa kapur temima mili kwa ket kapur kuto kopi dotu kwa kwato kopu kato do tu temima tala kapo kote lulu atalani mani no.
Thank you. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, and this is in English. Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So although Peter is talking to elders there in those verses, there are some things that we could learn that are helpful for the whole church, for all people, and knowing about the elders and what they do and how the church relates to the elders as the leaders of the church. So there may not be a lot of things that you get today about, well, what am I going to do in my life and what am I going to do that's different, and what teaching can I apply just for me? But it's helpful to know, well, how does the church operate? And who are the leaders? And what do they do? And how do I relate to the leaders? So we'll just start on this subject of the elders, because there are many places in the New Testament that talk about elders, and more than probably you would have known. And these are only some of them. And I didn't make a handout for this. Maybe next week we'll talk more about elders. And you can have some of these other verses and places that you might want to look at that tell us about elders and who they are. And one of these places, we're going to look at some of these verses, not all of those verses, but a few verses in the book of the Acts and chapter 20. So we can understand not only what Peter says about elders, but what we learn from other places. In fact, in this chapter, at the start of it, it's not really teaching about elders, but we learn about elders from what happens in that chapter. So I would like to go to some of the verses. Well, first of all, here's some of the things that we're going to learn about elders, that there's some terms that apply to the men that are these leaders. The elders, that's a term that kind of relates to their experience or maturity. Now, the word could mean older men. But when we look at the New Testament and the leaders of the church in the New Testament, leaders of individual churches in the New Testament, it really talks about the leaders of the church. And so it's a title for those, that group of men who are leading the church, the elders. But another term that applies to those men is the word overseers. And that has to do with what they're responsible for. And they're supposed to have the oversight or look or supervise the church, oversee the church. We'd see this term shepherds. Well, when you think of shepherds, you think of someone who herds sheep, right? Well, people are like sheep. And so the men are also shepherds, and that means their leadership and their care for other people. I added another word that you don't often see with these other words, and that's the word guardians, because that's one of the things they do too. It kind of goes along with being an overseer and a shepherd, that they provide protection for the people in the church. So there's a lot of things in these different verses, but I want us to look at the fact that when we see these things in a couple of places we're going to look at today, they are the same men. They are not different men or different people, leaders in the church. They are different titles or terms or words for the same men. So I want us to look at Acts chapter 20 and just a few verses there, because this relates back to what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 4 or chapter 5, and we'll get back to those verses. I'm going to read these verses to you in English. Something that we learn about elders, even though it's not really teaching about elders. It says in Acts 20, 16 and 17, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be in Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus," that's another town, "he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church." Now I put these two verses in here because we want to get down to this verse that talks about the elders of the church. The reason I put this in here is so we can understand that Paul was traveling, and he didn't want to stop in Ephesus. He was in a hurry. He didn't have a lot of time because he was going to Jerusalem. And he wanted to get there on a certain day, but if he stopped in Ephesus, then he would have had to spend time with people. Well, a lot of times he did that anyway, but he was kind of in a hurry. And you know how it is when you're traveling, and sometimes people want to, "Oh, come visit us. Oh, we want to spend time with you." And, well, it takes a lot of time sometimes. And so it wasn't like he just wanted to ignore the people, because he was in a hurry, but it was really important for him to talk to the elders in Ephesus. And so he stopped at this place, Miletus, and he called in, or sent to the elders at Ephesus, sent to the Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. So even though he didn't have much time, he was in a hurry, something he had to say to them was very important. And so he wanted to talk to them, to these leaders of the church in Ephesus. But something that we learn from these verses is that the elders were more than what? See, this is, it has an S on the end of it. It wasn't just one leader of the church. There was more than one. And not only that, we learned that they were all leaders of the same church. And that was the church at Ephesus. So, and I put the word assembly in here because it could have been translated that way. Sometimes when the word church could mean assembly. And sometimes when we talk about the church, it may have to do with the whole church, everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the one who is over the whole church. But this was talking about an individual church, the church at Ephesus, just like Oak Ridge Bible Chapel is a church or assembly. And so these men were leaders or elders of the church. More than one leader and one church. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 28 in Acts chapter 20. And so that's a lot of verses in between. But I wanted to look at these verses so you knew who we were talking about. It was Paul. And he wanted to talk to the elders of the church. So now when we get down to verse 28, we're going to see some of the things that he said to these elders that he thought was very important because he was in a hurry, but he wanted them to know these things because the Lord had told him that he was close to the end of his life and he would not see these men again. So he wanted to make sure he had a chance to talk to them and tell them some things that were very important before he was gone and wouldn't be able to. Here's one of the things he said. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So you see some of those words that we talked about earlier that had to do with, we know that they're the elders because we saw that earlier in the chapter. And they're also those who are overseers to shepherd the church of God. So those are three of the main words. And he also tells them to be on guard or to beware, to be careful. That's really kind of what the word guard means, to beware, to look out, to be on the alert, because there could be some people that come in and try to teach things that were not true. And he wanted them to be careful and watch out for that. You know, when a soldier is standing guard over a fort or something else that's important that needs to be protected, they need to be watchful. They want to watch and make sure that an enemy doesn't make a sneak attack. And so that's the idea of guarding, or to be careful or be watchful. The word flock gives you the idea of sheep, doesn't it? That's usually what we think of as a flock. Well, people are kind of like sheep. And so when he's talking about the flock, he's talking about people of the church. And so to watch over or to guard the flock. They had to be careful for themselves too, but also for the sheep or for the flock. But I thought this was kind of important too. Be guard for yourselves. Well, they're sheep as well, aren't they? All people that know the Lord Jesus, well, we're all sheep. Leaders and other people too. And that's why Paul calls them a flock. People are like sheep. And a verse that some of us know is from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. It says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Iniquity is another word for sin. And Isaiah was prophesying. He was telling the future of something that was going to happen later that did happen. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ who took all of our sin upon himself. He is the good shepherd, isn't he? The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd. And so he is the one who has taken all of our iniquity upon himself for all of those who come to know him as a savior. All of those who would believe on him have eternal life because he took our sin, our iniquity upon himself. You know, when Isaiah said that or wrote that, he was thinking of himself too, wasn't he? All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. He was including himself. And so, elders too are sheep. And sheep as well as the flock. Next in this verse, we learn how these men became elders or overseers. Well, first of all, I want to look at this. And that was kind of what I was just talking about. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So it wasn't just that these men were coming from somewhere else. They were in the church too. They were among the flock. And it wasn't like somebody said, okay, now I want you to go over here and be a leader in this church. Now, I know sometimes with churches that are just getting started, there may not be people to be leaders, men to be leaders. And so they may need some help. But at least here, these were men who were among the flock. And so it wasn't just people coming from somewhere else to shepherd the sheep. They were sheep themselves and within the church. But we learn how they became elders or overseers. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, I'm not sure how people would have decided that, but it could have been that they saw that these men were capable leaders, and they recognized them as the men who were the leaders of that church. And Paul knew who they were. He knew who these men were, who were the elders, because he was an apostle. Maybe some of the men were educated. I'm sure they all had some good knowledge of the Word of God and the Scriptures. But they became elders by means of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't some special ceremony that they had or something that they said, okay, I've gone to school and I've got this degree, so now I'm a leader of the church. No, it was the Holy Spirit who had decided that these men were going to be the leaders or the shepherds or the overseers. And we saw that word overseers, didn't we? Another word for who these men were, the supervisors, the ones who were overseeing the meeting. And again, that word is in the plural, isn't it? It's more than one, not just one leader. And then we see that they were to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Shepherds take care of sheep, don't they? They make sure that sheep get food that are healthy, that is healthy for them. They protect the sheep. They make sure they have proper care when they're sick. And sometimes they have to guide the sheep away from something dangerous if they try to go in a way that they shouldn't go, or something that might try to harm them when they try to go astray. And so that's something like what elders do or should be doing in the church. They're responsible for teaching the truth of the Scriptures, kind of like what shepherds do to give food to their sheep, the things that are good for the flock, for the people. Feeding sheep, what is good for them. Elders watch over the church and guard it against people who teach lies, kind of like what shepherds would do to try to keep sheep from the wolves. And elders try to help people in the church when they're sick and hurting. Now, elders are not medical doctors, okay? So if you're sick, it's not a good idea to come see me. I may not be able to help you too much. But there are problems and things in the church and that people have in their lives that sometimes they need help with or help from the scriptures. And so the elders can often help with some of these kinds of things. So again, what these things and verses from chapter 20 help us to understand is that these elders were the same men, the ones who were doing the guarding, who were the overseers, the shepherds. And of course, we learned earlier in the chapter that they're also the elders. That's what they were called. They shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, it's interesting to think of God purchasing the sheep with his own blood. But it's the Lord Jesus is God, isn't he? And it was the Lord Jesus who died on the cross. And so it's as though God is telling us that God purchased the sheep with the blood of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ have been purchased by him. And so they belong to him. They are his sheep. Now, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll review some of what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 5 a few minutes ago. So I'll read the first verse to you once again in English. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. So one of the things we want to look at first is this word, therefore, because it connects to what he has said earlier, and the last time we were in the book, it might be easy to forget what that was. It was in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4. Sometimes I forget what I said the last time I spoke. It's been a while. But so we'll go back to chapter 4 a little bit. I'm just going to suggest that it has to do with suffering. The book of 1 Peter has a lot to do with suffering. And people were suffering persecution and other things in their lives, difficulties that they had. Sometimes we suffer things that we have to deal with. And it's not easy in this life. They were suffering. And so he ends chapter 4. Chapter 4 had a lot to do with suffering. And the suffering of the Lord Jesus and the suffering that they went through as well. Suffering with Christ. So at the end of chapter 4, this is the last verse of chapter 4, it says this, and he starts it with a therefore. He's summarizing the suffering of chapter 4. Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. So he's saying that suffering means we have to trust God, because he's going to do the right thing, and we are going to do the right thing when we trust him, even when we're suffering. So that was for all the believers, something that had to do with suffering. Now when he gets to chapter 5, we say, now, the elders, I want the elders to play a part here with the people who are suffering in the church. And so he says, therefore, I exhort. And so we're going to think about this word exhort that has to do with making a strong plea or strong encouragement, an appeal to do something. So you really want a person to do something when you're exhorting them. Now, we don't see what it is that he wanted them to do in this verse, because there's a lot of other things we're going to look at first. So you're going to have to wait a minute to find out what he's going to tell them to do or encourage them to do. So we're going to look at some of the other verses here. In a minute, we're going to get to verse 2 and find out what it was that he wanted them to do. One of the things that we see is that he's talking to the elders. Again, it's more than one. Now, who Peter was writing his letter to would have been more than one church. Many churches, or several churches in different regions in the Roman Empire. So more than one church, but it's multiple elders that he's talking to in those churches, not just one leader. And again, it was those who were among them, the other believers. So it wasn't someone that was sent from somewhere else to be there to lead these people. They were among or within the flock. But something else Peter says about himself. He calls himself a fellow elder. And when he says fellow, that he says he's putting himself on the same level or the same kind of leader like the elders in those places, those elders that he was writing to or that he was speaking to at this point in his letter. And so he didn't really consider himself as, or he wasn't looking at himself as an elder or a leader over other elders. He didn't think of himself as a higher leader or with a higher position, although he was an apostle. And the Lord did tell him to shepherd his church or to tend his flock, tend his sheep. And so he had a big responsibility. He was one of the leaders in the church of Jerusalem. And so he was like an elder, caring for the sheep. But he called himself a fellow elder because he was thinking, you know, I want you elders to be doing this as well, to shepherd the sheep. Recently, the Pope, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, died. It's a big event in the Roman Catholic Church to select a new pope, a new leader, what they consider to be the supreme leader of the church on earth. The Roman Catholic Church has taught that Peter was the first pope. Peter did not call himself a pope. I have not seen the word pope in the Bible. If you find the word pope in the Bible, let me know. I have not seen it there. I don't think it's there. Peter called himself a fellow elder, one who was caring for the sheep. Now I know that, yes, there's a lot about what Peter was supposed to do to tend the sheep. But Jesus said that directly to Peter. So he had a special ministry, but he was one of the apostles. But he wasn't the pope. And he is not the supreme leader of the church on earth. And neither is the so-called pope. It's not something that is in the Bible. He was a shepherd in Jerusalem. And it made sense for Peter to encourage the elders of the churches. So their job of shepherding and overseeing the people, the flock, in those other churches was very similar to what he was doing in shepherding the church in Jerusalem and that kind of thing, and the job that he has as an apostle and shepherd to all the churches. Peter was also a witness to the sufferings of Christ. He'd already encouraged his readers to be about their suffering and the fact that they had to endure suffering And you know, Peter endured suffering as well, because he had been put in prison and he was persecuted for what he said about the Lord Jesus and for preaching the gospel and to telling people things that a lot of people didn't want them to hear. I mean, you think about Peter when he once denied the Lord and how sorry he was for that. But then now he was a very bold spokesman for the gospel and preaching the word of God and preaching what was going to happen. And it wasn't too long after Peter wrote this letter and this next letter, that's 2 Peter, that he was put to death for his faith in Christ and for what he believed and for what he taught. And so Peter suffered himself. And there was suffering that believers have to go through, but he witnessed the sufferings of Christ. He saw these things that happened to the Lord Jesus. He was a witness. God kept him and called him to testify of what he had seen concerning the sufferings of Christ. He was a witness, but he was also a partaker. The word partaker means to share in. So he was a sharer, or was to be a sharer, of the glory that was to be revealed and that is to be revealed. And every person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior is going to share in that glory. The most glory goes to Christ. In fact, all the glory goes to Him for what He's done. And we can look forward to that. But we're going to share in that glory. Peter says, I'm a sharer. I'm a partaker of the glory that's to come. And all of us are too, that know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. When Christ is revealed in glory. And so all that suffering and hard work and all the things that Peter had to go through and that what the elders have to go through for the suffering, there's going to be a sharing in the glory that's to be revealed when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in glory, when He returns. Now let's look at what He tells us, or what He's going to tell the elders to do. So we looked at that word exhort, what it means, that He's going to make a strong appeal to them of what they should do. So now we're going to learn from the first part of verse 2, what it is that He wants them to do. So I exhort you to shepherd the flock of God. Okay? So, does this look a little familiar to what we saw in Acts chapter 20? Same kind of words, huh? Shepherd the flock of God. And so, Peter was close to the end of his life too. Just like Paul was close to the end of his life, and he wanted to make sure the shepherds, the elders knew that they were supposed to do that. Sheep are the people. They belong to God. They don't belong to the leaders. That's pretty important. It's the flock of God. They're the people belong to Jesus. They're His sheep. Lord Jesus said, "The sheep, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish. No one snatches them out of my hand." So the people, the flock, is the flock of God, and the sheep belong to Jesus. They are His sheep. But again, there's this word among. And so we've seen that before too, haven't we? We saw it in verse 1. And here it is again in verse 2. It's the flock of God among you. So they were there with the sheep, weren't they? They weren't men who came or from a distance trying to lead or supervise the church. They were among the sheep. How many elders were there? We don't know. But we know that there was more than one. Because, well, they were elders. It was the plural, wasn't it? And the word shepherd means to tend, like tending sheep. It's an active word. That's why it's a verb form here. So when he says shepherd, he's talking to the shepherds, but he's telling them what to do. This is what I want you to do, to shepherd the sheep. But in the Greek language of the New Testament writings, and that's where we get the translations, or we translate from those writings into the English language and into the Koran language to get the Bibles that we have, in those Greek New Testament writings, the word which is translated pastor is the same word as the word for shepherd, or the noun, the person that actually does the shepherding. So I'm going to point out a verse in Ephesians that uses the word pastors. So we know it's really the same word for the people that are doing this work of shepherding. This is from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I'll read the verse to you. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. So, the word pastors speaks of the people, the men, who are the ones doing the shepherding. In fact, it could have been translated shepherds. Some as evangelists and some as shepherds and teachers. Now, I understand from the Greek construction, or the language in the early writing, in the New Testament writings, these two words could go together, pastors and teachers, as though they were the same people doing both pastoring and teaching. But as they are separate of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are abilities that God gives to every believer to serve the church and to serve himself, to serve God, and to serve his people. And so this chapter is talking about spiritual gifts. And here's apostles. We don't have apostles anymore, at least apostles like we had in the early church, those that performed miracles, who had seen the Lord Jesus. But we had apostles to start the early church, and there were some prophets as well who were telling things of the future before the word of God was completed. And so we don't have a need for prophecy anymore of things that are going to happen in the future. We have people that tell us about the prophecy that's still going to happen. But all of the things that we need to know about in prophecy are complete. And so we don't have prophets in that sense anymore. We do have evangelists, people who tell other people about the Lord Jesus so that they can be saved and so that they can come to Jesus. And then some are pastors, or shepherds, and some are teachers. But the word could have been translated shepherds. So I wanted you to see that, because in the translation that I use, this is the only place that we see the word pastors, okay? So, and even there, it's talking about spiritual gifts more than it's talking about the leaders of the church. Although, yeah, certainly pastors are leaders in the church, or can be. Just having the gift of shepherding doesn't make a person a shepherd or a pastor, although it's a desirable gift to have, to be a shepherd, or to have that gift in order to be a leader in the church. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about people that have these gifts. And so this is a place where we read about pastors. But even then, is this just one pastor, or is it more than one? The S means what? There's more than one. There's more than one of them in the church. And it's, now you could say, well, this is talking about the church in general, but even then it's talking about more than one pastor. There's not just one pastor or one shepherd. And so we don't see the word pastor as a title for the leader, other than, well, we could say shepherd or shepherds, but when we see the words, it really has to do with more than one. And so I prefer to use a term that's really a biblical title, and that's the word elders, which has to do with a group of men who are overseeing the church. So the work of an elder is that of a shepherd tending the flock. The next part of this verse has to do with another term that applies to elders that we've been looking at, exercising oversight, which is another way of saying what we read about Paul, or what Paul said to the elders of the church at Ephesus, was that he made them overseers. And that's just, it's this really the same word in kind of an active sort of a way. Here's what you're supposed to do. Be doing the supervising of the church, overseeing the church. And so it's the same kind of idea. Very much like what we read in Acts chapter 20, right? Just the same things that we saw there. Elders are plural. The shepherds are plural. That's one word here. It's only singular here, but that's because it's the verb of what the elders are supposed to do. And exercising oversight, or they're also the ones that are supposed to be the supervisors. So, just thought I would take a look at just a comparison between those two sets of verses that we looked at today. And this is our last slide. So, I didn't get very far in this chapter, did I? We're going to talk more about it next time and maybe have some more things to say that you can relate to. But in Acts chapter 20, it says he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And of course, later on in that chapter, we learned that they were to guard for themselves and for all the flock, being the people of the church, among which, they were in the church, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we saw a lot of the same words and a lot of the same ideas in those verses that we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, which is the chapter that we're supposed to be talking about. And I purposely got off on a tangent on elders because I thought it was important to relate that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and other things that we'll see from 1 Peter chapter 5 next time too. So we see the word elders, and they were among the flock, and they were to shepherd the flock of God or the church, and exercise oversight, which is the idea of being overseers. And something else I noticed here when I put the two verses together, that the elders among you, so here he was talking to the whole church, wasn't he? So okay, I'm talking to the group of churches, to the people in those regions of the Roman Empire. He says, okay, I exhort the elders among you. So the elders were among the church, weren't they? And then he's talking to the elders, and he says, okay, now I want you to shepherd the flock of God among you. So that's kind of interesting. The elders are among the church, and then shepherd the flock among you. So the flock is among the elders, and the elders are among the flock. And so they're in the church, exercising the oversight. So there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of things that these men have to do, and I've called them men. I haven't really showed you that they're men, not women, but maybe we'll look at that next time too. There's a lot to do. Guarding the flock, overseeing the flock, shepherding the church, caring, feeding, leading. And, you know, I think it's a good thing that it's supposed to be more than one. And that's at least the pattern that we see in the New Testament. I know that sometimes churches don't have enough leaders. In fact, some churches have trouble even getting one leader to be like their shepherd or pastor, but it's the pattern for more than one, and even two. It's easy for one or two to neglect some of the needs of the flock and of the people in the church, and the important things that need to happen in taking care of the sheep. But I've said just a little bit about elders, and only very little in 1 Peter chapter 5, but maybe next time we'll have some more things to say, and you'll have a few more questions answered about who elders are and how we relate to them, and we'll continue the subject next time.